A snarl, and they're upon him. An ancient forest spirit at his heels. The only escape is in the Toyota BZ Woodland. John Cho stars in Camping. Test drive Toyota's new all-electric family today. Toyota, let's go places.
Jake, very good to see you.
Liam, very good to see you. For fans of the pod, for both of the fans of the pod, we are still in Manchester. We're still in our block of records that we're doing in Manchester, which is very exciting. But I think in all the excitement, we have forgotten everything.
Yeah, it's thrown us out of whack, hasn't
it? We've forgotten pen and paper. If you watch on YouTube, you'll see that in these batch of records, we are really writing on quite scrappy bits of paper.
They are
bits
quite integral for pub quizzes.
You do need them. We've forgotten a receptacle from which to read the questions. Normally, I print scripts out. Forgot to do that. A backup is bringing an iPad. Forgot to do that. Using my laptop. We've forgotten one of the producers.
Yeah.
He's at home.
Yeah. So we're one producer.
We've forgotten. I think we've forgotten how to do it as well. Yeah. We've forgotten sort of how to do it.
Yeah, there was a bit. There was a bit before the first one with Stephen where I was like, what's the format?
How do we do start this? Again? What, is it there again? Was a bit at the end where we sort of like reviewed the quizzes and we were like, what's the category?
What did
just
we do?
Out of 10, what do you think it is? I don't know. One thing I haven't forgotten though is how much I love your company.
Ah. Oh.
Sorry, that's, I don't know why.
Men's Mental Health Podcast.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It should be sponsored to say something like that.
So, Jake, who have we got on today?
We've got on a very exciting person who I met for the first time in the flesh when I was doing my Edinburgh Fringe show. But I think people will just know his face because he's got something mad like 2 million Instagram followers. I don't know what it is on TikTok, but 2 million on Instagram itself is just crazy. Very funny, very charming. Former teacher.
Really?
Don't know if you knew that.
What
former teacher. Chemistry, I believe, but we'll find out more, I'm sure. Yeah. It is Shabazz Ali, and I think we're all going to get on very well, and it's just another reason why coming to Manchester has been such a beautiful idea.
Yeah.
Should we meet him?
Yes.
Let's do it. Joining our pub quiz team this week is a comedian that is no stranger to an exam in harsh conditions. It's Shabazz Ali.
That was a good one.
It's a nice. It's a little bit. We actually don't write those intros. It's our wonderful producer. And it's always nice when you think, gosh, he's really put some effort into researching who you are before you were a comedian as well. Why would you have an exam in harsh conditions? What's that all about? What does that allude to?
I was a teacher.
There we go. It's a pub quiz pod exclusive.
What did you teach?
Chemistry, high school.
Really? Mm-hmm. Second, how was that?
I loved it. Best job ever. Like, I think a lot of people would think it's harder than it is. I'd find the younger ones harder. So I used to find year 7 quite difficult to deal with, whereas the year 10s and 11s, then 12 and 13, they were easy to
They're the ones that would scare me, I think.
No, believe it or not, they're actually easier to manage because they want to be treated older, and I would treat them like that rather than be like...
Right.
Rather than be just... Whereas the younger ones, I just couldn't be harsh. I found being harsh was hard, whereas with adults, you can be a bit sarcastic. You can, you know what I mean? With the older ones, I could be a bit sarcastic. Like, what's wrong with you? Get out of my room.
You know,
whereas
sort of respect you giving it a bit back.
Yeah. Whereas the younger ones start crying, and then you're like, oh, God, now I've got a kid crying. Like, it's not in everywhere. Whereas, and you feel bad for like an 11-year-old you've told off for something really stupid, like a school rule. Whereas like a teenager, you can just say to them, like, sort your tie out. What's wrong with you? And it doesn't feel...
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. Whereas an 11-year-old like, what is wrong with me? I don't know. I can't grow pubic hair. Yeah. I can't... There must be something wrong with me.
Yeah, and they go tell the mums that, you know, Mr. Ali said there's something wrong with me, and then the mums complain.
Did you ever lose your shit at someone?
Yeah, one time.
Really?
Alfie. I remember him. Alfie, if you're watching this... I remember that day. I've never lost it with any other kid except this one kid.
Go on.
Alfie was just... He was really... Did not care.
Mm.
And that's what bothered me so much about it. Like, you'd say stuff, and what he'd do is he'd gaslight you. So you'd go, Alfie, why are you throwing pens across the room? What's wrong with you? Why are you always going on? Like, what? He'd make you feel stupid, and that was the worst thing to have. Like, somebody, you're messing up, and you're making me...
Like, you're a weirdo for thinking it's bad to throw pens.
Like,
maybe I'm a bit sick of the mud. I'll throw my pen.
Like, why are you getting on? Like, why are you getting mad?
I hate that.
So he just made me lose it. But I thought that's why I remember him, because Alfie's the only kid that I ever lost my shit.
Any quotes from the outburst that sort of stay in your head, or would you know, have you just totally seen red and I just totally seen red
and like so just went, shouted. Just my
top
volume.
Of your voice.
I never ever raised volume. So it was always like with the kids in my class, they always knew that when they were annoying me. So I never followed like the consequence system as the school does. I was just kind of like, stop it, stop it, stop it, right? Stop it. And I constantly tell, I'd put the ownership on you. Mm-hmm. So like when I send you out of the classroom, you're not going to be feeling like, oh, he's mugged me off, because you know why I've sent you out. I've given you plenty of chances. You know. So when I go out there, I'm like, why have I sent you out? You know full well, like, okay, I messed up. That's better than me just going, right, get out of my classroom. And you're like, well, what did I do? Well, you know that you've thrown a pen. You've been talking when I am. You've not done your work. You're messing around.
Really getting flashbacks, actually.
Yeah. I was there.
I was good. I was a good teacher.
You were. Well, I imagine you were. Yeah. You've got a very nice manner about you. Yeah. You're obviously very funny. You're engaging. It's sort of what every dream teacher.
Do you remember, like, as a kid at school, like, teachers shouting was just like part and parcel. But then as an adult, you're like,
That's mad.
I can't remember the last time I shouted.
Or really someone shouted at me.
Yeah.
I find with the older teachers, they still did. I think it's an older person thing. So I felt like the boomer lot shouted all the time. Like, and I was like, why are you? Yeah. You can say the same sentence without having to raise volume. He just made me see red because he was...
That's understandable.
I'm constantly saying the same things over and over, and he just didn't care. His parents blamed us. Oh. It was just...
Did any of those older teachers sort of in the staff room when no one was looking... just sort of say, do you know what? I actually would like it if we could still cane them.
Oh yeah, we did it all the time. We swore about kids. Yeah, we swore about kids. I'd open the classroom.
I'm saying, are any of those old teachers? Yeah, we should be able to beat them up.
Yeah.
I was like, no, clarify for Shabazz. And he's like, no, we did do that.
Yeah, the idea of like being able to beat them. There were some kids that needed a good beating. Absolutely, like that's not, I'm not ashamed to say that if the parents smacked them, they'd be in a better place.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, some people, I think some human beings, do you meet a person, you think, you have not been smacked before.
Yeah.
Because if you'd been smacked before, you'd have less of, like, every person.
We've had a few on the pod, actually.
Yeah.
Every person, it's a rite of passage. I feel like you need to be smacked to know not to mess with certain things. You know what I mean? So I feel like some kids just didn't need a good punch in the face.
Well, I hope I do well on the quiz, otherwise I'm going to get a smack bossy today.
Were you ever smacked as a kid?
Oh, yeah. I was smacked as a kid.
I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. Yeah. I think this is probably the most... I don't think we've had this debate on the podcast.
We've never talked about this on the podcast. It wasn't an everyday occurrence. No. I mean, it's probably happened like...
If it's an everyday occurrence, that's bad, isn't it? But if it happens like once a month because you've done something quite severe...
But it keeps you in line.
Once a month feels quite a lot.
I was a bit of a cheeky boy.
Really?
Yeah.
Go on then. I know what I've done. Yeah. Here we go again.
Nicked my dad's inhaler once, got dragged in by the ear.
Are you saying once a month was a lot?
I think once a month. Oh, we got a lot.
Yeah, we got beats all the time.
Really?
Yeah, all the time.
Maybe I was hitting once a quarter, once a financial quarter.
I'm a big blowout. End of the quarter.
Suggest I was getting the smack because I got my VAT returning. You've been a bad boy. There you go.
Sounds right.
So I think as a teacher, because I don't want to be one of these people that sort of like rates certain subjects as being more worthy of others, but like you weren't doing a DOS one. You were doing chemistry. Yeah. Like you're doing the real deal.
I wasn't painting art.
Exactly.
Or buying computers and calling it computer science. You know what I mean? Pressing a few buttons on an Excel spreadsheet and going to the computer.
It's easy, isn't it? The teacher's just showing you how to use Word.
Yeah.
And that'll up the font.
if you think about primary school teacher, what are you doing? You're like, day one, colouring, day two, traffic lights, day three, graduation. Like, what?
So as a scientist, a teacher, are you going to be very good at a quiz?
I'm good at...
Do you have time to quiz?
No, I was on the weakest link.
What?
I got voted out second round.
Have you had time to do all this shit, Shabazz? I don't know where you've had time to do all this stuff.
No. I was the strongest link in the first round. So I got all the questions right, science questions right. However, in the second round, they asked the woman next to me, what's 4 + 5?
No, they didn't.
They swear to you. And they asked me to look at what was the river in France called. I'm sorry, I grew up poor. I wasn't doing geography. I wasn't going down to the rivers in France. I didn't know what it was, the River Seine apparently.
Yeah.
So I got voted out for that.
Is that luck of the questions or do you think they know what they're going, she's a bit
thick. We want to keep them in. I don't know. I feel like maybe.
I have to say.
As a TV producer,
sorry, it's about the drum.
Step foot in that building again.
As a former TV producer for quiz, I would say they are bound by very strict regulations.
That's true.
When there's money involved. Yeah. However,
was it celebrity or
it's celebrity one? Yeah.
Oh, in that case, they're not bound that much.
Yeah,
so they might have fixed it. Sorry, I didn't realize it was celebrity one.
This is the worst one.
If it was celebrity one, they might have just done what they wanted.
I got kicked out before Joey Essex.
Oh,
I know that one.
Doesn't
you got kicked out in the next
doesn't
one.
Bode well
that's
for us.
We both got two questions wrong. But then they all ganged up and voted me out. But I went, man, I'm such a sore loser. So I went a lot. I lost it.
Really?
I saw red. I was cussing everyone out. Paul Burrell was on it.
Only once in my life have I shouted at a kid.
Paul Burrell was on it, and he goes to me. He goes, "Oh, I knew the answer to that." I was like, "Yeah, but what do you know else? What else do you know? Your claim to fame is just banging on about Diana for the last 20 years." And then there was a woman next to me, and she was like, "I knew what the river was." I was like, "Yeah, because you're old. Of
wow,
course you've lived long."
She doesn't even get a name check. She's just some woman. It's all celebs. Some woman. Some Joey Essex, Paul
Burrell, some fucking woman. Some woman you knew 5 plus 4 was.
I didn't know she was like a presenter from BBC like 20 years ago.
But the thing is, Shabazz,
even Ramesh stopped me, and so Ramesh stopped and went, "Wow, Shabazz is hiding his feelings well, isn't it?"
But hang on a minute. They normally group the bits like, "So, welcome to Celebrity Weakest Link. It's TV presenters from the 90s. Or welcome to the Weakest Link. It's boy bands." If you've got Paul Burrell, Joey Essex, you and some woman, what was the thing with that one?
They had that comedian, the one that works with... She's a blonde comedian that is... She's with Nish... Oh, and she does like this new segment bit.
Paris.
Yes.
Yeah.
She was on it. And then the woman of Loose Women, she was on it.
Denise Welch?
No, the head one, not the one that sits on the end, the more
the headless
important
woman.
One.
Oh yeah, Christine Blakely?
I don't know her names. She was on it. So there's quite a few people.
Not Janet Street Porter.
No, you'd remember her.
Shabazz, do you have an interesting fact for us?
I do have an interesting fact. Right, I had to write it down because I wanted to get it right. But so there are sounds so low that they make people feel watched, anxious, or sick without hearing anything. It's called infrasound, right? Infrasound can cause paranoia, dread. So some haunted places turned out to be badly designed buildings. Because what happens is your brain fills in the gaps because it doesn't hear the sound, but the physics is tricking your brain into thinking there's something wrong with around you, that you end up thinking, you start seeing hallucinations and stuff. So I've got more of it, right? The twist is that you're not hearing anything. It just means your body's reacting to it. Your ears aren't picking the sound up because it's on below 20 hertz. And it can cause anxiety, unease, nausea, chills, paranoia, the feeling of being watched, chest tightness, a sense of something is wrong with no explanation. And that's why people usually go, "Oh God, there's something weird about this room," or feel odd about it. It's because there's a really low frequency that you can't hear.
And what can that be caused by?
So building acoustics. So in the 1900s, there was a guy that went to investigate this haunted hospital, and it turned out there was weird pipes and building work that was causing a really low humming sound, which was making people feel uneasy because it even shakes your pupils a little bit, which causes hallucinations. And it also activates the fear center in your brain.
Right.
So a lot of hauntings aren't really hauntings.
I think 80% of guests we'd have on, their fact would have been, there's a frequency that can, so low, it can make you quite paranoid and fearful. Interesting. Great.
And they'd leave it.
That is a, you're very intelligent.
Yeah. Because no one, no,
but
no one, no one else would have thought that's interesting. But I want to give these lads
that's the first time it's felt like I'm an intellectual on the podcast.
Because I knew about it. I knew about the fact, because I'll tell you where I learned it was Adele put it in Set Fire to the Rain. So
okay.
We were going
well for a while, weren't we?
Okay. She put it in that she put that low frequency in it because it irritates your ears and her voice is supposed to soothe you. So that's why people love that song.
Wow.
So that slow frequency irritates your ears when you've got it in. So you're listening to the sound and there's something that's really bothering you, but you don't know what it is, and her voice is supposed to set that soothing.
Adele, you conniving little bastard.
No. Come
on. Yes. Do you know what, Adele?
Hey, another one for you. Yeah. They say that it's used in warfare. So the Russians have been using it in everything that's going on. But Trump also used a very low frequency because when he went and invaded Venezuela, the guards have actually come out and said that there was some kind of noise that we all started being sick. We just don't know why. We just heard a noise and every single one of them started throwing up and lost their minds because of the low frequency. So it can be used as a warfare.
Isn't there one that makes you poo as well?
Possibly.
Must be on my headphones nonstop.
Brown noise.
Brown noise.
Brown noise.
Yeah. I think it is genuinely, yeah.
Really? It makes you want to poo?
Yeah.
I think brown noise is good if you have ADHD. I put it on in my ears and then it helps silence the thoughts.
Mm.
It's really good.
One of the best facts we've ever had on the pod. Thank you so much for that.
That's, genuinely.
And honestly, what good news for you, the pressure's off now for the team name. It can be fucking whatever it wants to be. There's no need to impress here at all.
I was just going to call us the Povels.
The Povos.
Yeah.
The Povos.
Okay, yeah. Lovely stuff, yes.
Yeah. You're up north, aren't you?
Right, and off we go. So,
I've not said this for a while, but I think I've got a good feeling about the score we're going to get as this team. No pressure. Yeah.
Right.
Even okay, with that drone of the fan behind us.
We've got it.
Okay, so each week we get sent a genuine pub quiz from a genuine quizmaster. And this week it marks the return of our OG gladiator. It's the big purple German dinosaur. It's Barney Fritz. And you can check out his quiz at the Snooty Fox in Canonbury. And his quiz is on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. I feel like every quiz that gets sent in is on a Tuesday at 8 p.m.
Yeah, there's a lot on Tuesdays.
Because no one's doing anything on a Tuesday.
Yeah. I think Tuesdays is huge.
You can't do Monday because people go, I'm not going out.
Yeah, I'm not on a Monday.
Yeah.
I think personally 8 p.m. is quite late to start.
It is actually.
And whenever I've heard, sort of occasionally we have ones, when they're sent in, it's like, oh, come and see it at Sunday at 8:30. No, I won't.
Yeah.
Sunday at 8:30.
You know what's nice about it being early is like you ideally want it to finish at like 8:30, because if you're all having a good time and you've won, you want there to be a good couple of hours of sort of night out ahead
not
of you.
No, if you've got work the next day. Like on a Friday night, 8 p.m, perfect. That's the right time, isn't it?
Yeah.
But on a Tuesday.
We got a message from Barney, and when he sent the quiz in, he said, an update from me is I also host funerals now as well.
Does he?
Wow. What, doing pub quizzes at funerals?
He's probably hosted it, like, as in, like, when they... Because white people have, like, drinks after, don't they? When somebody dies, they're like, oh, sorry, your mum died, but let's get pissed now.
Yeah.
So he must host that bit, innit? Yeah. Like, oh, she's dead, let's have a pint.
Yeah. Multiple choice, what is the time of death?
Yeah. How old did she die? Who is the reason for her death?
Picture around, which of these outfits is she wearing?
Who was the second husband in the room? Is it Barry?
Who's been left all the stuff in the will?
Who's getting the least in the will?
Yeah, Barney, please elaborate on
what the hell are you talking about? Yeah.
I mean, it sounds interesting, but I don't believe you. You can't think you're doing pub quizzes at funerals, or have you become a priest? I don't.
He's not become a priest.
Priests can't call themselves a host.
He's not become a priest.
He must host the reception, not the actual funeral. He's not stood up there talking about God. That the priest does. Then after he must host the reception afterwards. I watch a lot of EastEnders. They do have a host. It's usually Alfie.
An update from me is I also host funerals now as well.
Yeah, so you host funerals. So he does a pub quizzes, but then when the funerals have their reception, he hosts that for them.
Do you have hosts for that?
Yeah, they do. Really? Yeah. Because you want to do like
come this way. Now that's maybe the MC, I suppose.
He's an MC. Like he's not doing telling jokes and cracking jokes. He'll be doing like the guys. Just let you know this person's coming up to do a toast.
But he must be doing a quiz, because else why would he tell us that?
Because he hosts quizzes, but he also now does funerals on the side.
So he's just a general host. He just hosts anything.
Just hosts anything.
His speciality is hosting.
He'll host anything.
And that can be anything. Yeah. A party, a funeral, a quiz. Honestly, I'll host anything.
He just
a game
probably
show.
Wants to work. And you
he's like Ramesh. Yeah. He's like Ramesh.
Ramesh is everywhere. He's fucking anything.
Barney, so we got some people who regularly send in quizzes. And Barney's one of them. And he is he's a safe pair of hands. Round one, colours.
Okay.
So, which genetic condition is sometimes known as CVD, colour vision deficiency?
Okay.
Which genetic condition? I think what's going to be hard for us is actually using our brains to get involved rather than just looking.
Do we write it down?
Immediately, we just went, okay, look to you, and then off we go.
Do we write it down, or what do we do? We just
write it down.
Yeah, we discuss it.
I guess colour blindness, because colour vision deficiency.
Genetic condition is
genetic condition. Known as CVD, but then the genetic condition is called CVD, but the common name for it might just be colourblindness.
I think sometimes you just got to go with the most obvious answer.
Barney, has he got a track record of being a bit of a trickster? Or?
He's not a trickster, Barney. We've had a few quizzes from him before, and he's not too much of a trickster.
No, fine.
Unless he's changed
I also think anyone that's doing a quiz on a Tuesday, where's he from?
London.
Canterbury.
Yeah.
He might be a bit smart there, isn't it, Canterbury? So he might have, maybe I don't know. Maybe this is Tuesday, though. Maybe this is the Tuesday quiz that they're a bit thick.
The only thing I'm thinking is that has Barney put this thing in about hosting funerals to show that he's got range? And is he thinking, right,
is he rebranding?
I'm going to show off in this quiz that I can do quite serious stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
And do quite morbid things.
Good, great.
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay, question two. Which Alice Walker novel became a cultural hit in 1985?
Oh, don't know. I have no idea.
Can't read.
Alice Walker novel, cultural hit in 1985. No, that could be so many.
Are you a reader?
I am a reader.
Are you?
And the name does sound familiar, but I just...
I know what it is. I've never read it.
Alice Walker.
But I've realised this is all about colours, isn't it?
Oh, idiot.
The Colour Purple.
The Colour Purple. Yes, Shabazz! The Colour Purple.
Mm.
Which makes me
feel like we do that so much. We forget that like the title of a round is often a clue.
Yeah, that yeah, colours. Yeah.
Number three, which element on the periodic table gets its name from the Greek word for colour?
Oh my god, that is so bad. I should know this.
You are kidding me.
Oh, I should know.
You are kidding me.
Which element on the periodic table gets its name from the Greek word for colour?
We've done, I would say, a lot of chemistry teacher chat at the start of this episode.
It's so bad. Which element on the periodic table gets the name from the Greek word for colour? Okay.
Do you want to go through them all? We've got time.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to think of which one of them sounds the most Greek.
Is there also any clue in like why a certain element would be named after a Greek word for colour?
Oh, would it be because it burns a very colourful flame?
Yeah, yeah, one of those. So it's got to be group one.
Why has it got to be group one?
Because they're the ones that burn the colour.
Really?
Yeah, and then only transition metals and group one burn colours.
So what's in group one then?
Can I just say, your face lights up when you talk
about
chemistry. When you talk about the periodic table, your face lights up.
What's in
the fondness you had in your eyes when you talked about group one. Oh, group one.
Apart from fucking Alfie.
Sodium? No, but sodium just wouldn't work. Potassium.
The Greek word for lithium. Colour.
Greek word. Think about a Greek, like the Greek word.
So helium. Caesar.
Cesium.
Cesium.
That sounds quite Greek, doesn't it?
No, because it's named after Julius Caesar. Okay. So I don't know if that's technically right.
Okay, well that probably wouldn't be right then. What about helium?
Helium. It's fine, but I don't think.
I just know it's a Greek word, helios or helios.
Oh, is it?
Fine.
Well, that's a big clue if we know it's a Greek
word.
That's
so annoying.
Yeah, but I feel like
it might not be anything to do with burning. It might just be that its name gets its name from the Greek word for colour.
Helium is a colourless gas, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Unless it's in a very colourful balloon.
I would say. I'm trying to think. None of those
Shabazz,
words.
This is pretty bad for me, man.
It's
this
the
really,
worst
really
one.
What's on your shortlist?
No, I have no idea because I don't know which ones sound Greek and I don't know Greek, do I?
What are the ones that sort of burn it quite a...
Okay, so I'll tell you the ones that burn really nicely.
That's really nice, that burn.
Magnesium burns quite nicely. Yeah. Copper burns green.
Copper's got colour, something. And it's also
Let's go
colourful.
Copper. Just go copper and move on.
Just not bad.
Tungsten, I don't know.
In my head, I was really sort of thinking a 15 out of 15 could be. I didn't want to say.
Oh, yeah, I thought it was going to be.
That.
I have to say, chemistry is now I'm sort of like putting my mind back into the moment of being a chemistry student. The best lesson for dicking about, you get fucking fire.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I used to.
I never did experiments.
Did you like leaving the gas taps on?
Yeah,
it's bad.
Blowing the place
it's
on.
What do they expect? Putting gas taps in the middle of the table.
Yeah, imagine putting gas taps around kids.
They've changed now though, because you press a button and everything just shuts off.
Oh.
So whereas before,
why wasn't that the system? It's mental.
But you can't do it because if you light thing, it doesn't it wouldn't blow the desk off,
right?
Because it has a backflow.
What's the most dangerous experiment you ever did?
I did one with hydrogen peroxide and a catalyst, and it ended up blowing up. I got it in my eye, ended up burning the inside of my eye. Because it fell, I didn't have my goggles on, innit?
You didn't have your goggles on?
No, it's so bad.
Shabazz, sorry, you're a chemistry teacher. You've got the chemistry question wrong. You've not worn your goggles, which is rule one.
You burnt yourself. Was that in front of the
goggles? What happened was, no, the thing was...
Goggles on, straight away goggles on.
The technician was really crap. So the reaction's not meant to explode. The reaction is just supposed to like fizz and it looks really cool.
Oh my God.
So you don't necessarily need goggles for a reaction that's only fizzing.
Yeah.
But it's because she'd put... hydrogen peroxide, 100% hydrogen peroxide, which you don't even use that. You dilute it down. Everybody knows you dilute it down. She just wanted a bigger reaction. Caused a big reaction. Burnt through the girl's paper, the one that was sat in front of me, burnt through her paper.
Oh my
end
God.
Ended up shooting. I got one bit of catalyst in my eye here. And then obviously I left it in there. So my eye went, then I had to get an eye wash. And then they got this swab and they had to like take the eye thing out, wash my eyes out a couple of times. Every time they wash my eyes out, it was purple because it was purple. It was
oh
really
my
nice colour.
Gosh, lovely colour.
Mm.
Does that help us with
the thing? Yeah, does that help? Yeah.
Wow, I bet you lost your shit at the technician.
Yeah, but I was also mates with her and I didn't want to get her in trouble because I could have got her fired, but now I can say it was your fault.
Question four, said to be extracted from only sea snails, what is the most expensive colour to produce? Colour to
produce. I remember
green. I don't know why.
I don't know about that.
Most expensive colour to produce is purple anyway.
It's purple. Historically,
it's
always been purple.
That's why none of the flags had purple and all royalty always wore purple.
Royalty always wore purple.
Because you couldn't reproduce it unless you were really rich and it cost a shit ton.
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
That's why none of the flags have it in.
And all the purples, like the robes are purple.
All their robes are not always purple. Like think about the queen.
We should go Julius purple, Caesar, shouldn't we?
Even in Greek times, they wore the robes.
And obviously, purple hangar.
Yeah.
Horrid Henry.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
My only question with that, though, is that would he put two questions where the answer is purple?
I don't know if it is purple, though. I think he might be doing a Roy Jibiv. How many questions are there? I think he might be giving us a Roy Jibiv, so he might be red, orange, yellow. Every answer might be...
I like Barney, but I don't think he's that clever.
No, he's not that clever.
Okay. Number five, the colour red appears on what percentage of the world's flag? Can be one above or below?
Flags.
This is a really difficult question. He wants a percentage of the world's flag, and we only get a point if we're 1% above or below it.
It's ridiculously hard.
I think you're looking really high, because if you think about pretty much every major flag has at least red or red, blue or white in it. And the red, and then obviously you've got a very small amount that don't. You could probably count the ones that don't have red in the flags.
Red is such a symbol of strength as well. Yeah. You know, they did an experiment to see if...
my favourite colour.
Football teams in red playing against football teams in other colours, and red will always have it at the edge because of the colour.
What does that mean?
Red is more intimidating.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's a new noise. You never made that before.
Yeah, but how do you explain Man City's reign?
Well, I think it's and marginal. Marginal, yeah.
A bit like if you flip a coin, it's very slightly more likely to be heads. Because it's a little bit heavier.
Is it?
Side of the coin.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's very minute, but it's a little bit heavier.
Wow.
There is a few. Like, I know what you're saying, instantly going, oh, it's quite high. But then Scotland, Mexico.
Yeah, hello, Jack.
Jack's arrived.
Jamaica. So, Shabazz, this is Jack.
Hi, Jack. Jamaica.
Jamaica, Mexico doesn't have red.
But a lot of them do, though.
And then, yeah, I think.
So, you're looking at about 80. I'd say about 80%.
It's the margin of error for 1%.
I know.
If you think there are 197. Every country has their own version of how many countries there are in the world. There's 197 countries, right? If we say 197, and out of them, possibly about 30. Wouldn't have
really. I think it could be more than that.
I'm up for hanging my hat on 86%.
Go on, with
I'd go 75. I'd actually maybe say 70.
85.
We need to come to get an average out.
Let's go 80
then. We'll come closer to you and we'll go 80.
That's a very difficult question. Should we do the answers?
Yeah, here we go. Intrigued by these.
Okay,
yeah, I'm very intrigued. So, the genetic condition that is sometimes known as CVD is. Colour blindness.
Nice. Simple answer.
One for one. Lovely. I like it when it's just an easy one first.
I'm going to be really annoyed about the thingy one.
Is the Alice Walker novel that became a cultural hit in 1985.
The colour purple.
The colour purple. It is. The colour purple.
Yes.
Well done, Jake. Well done. Which element on the periodic table gets its name from the word for colour? We say copper. It is.
Chromium.
You're a chemistry teacher.
Yeah, I wouldn't have said that, though. I just don't know why.
You wouldn't have said
chromium
that?
Chromium just didn't... It's just a boring element.
Really?
Yeah.
Number four, which is the most expensive colour, which is said to only be extracted from sea snails. We said purple. It is.
I don't think it is purple.
Imperial / Tyrian purple.
Tyrian purple, yeah.
At a moment like this, we throw over to producer Connor.
Yeah, do we accept that? Purple? Yeah.
Imperial purple.
Yeah.
Lovely. And then finally, the percentage of world flags with the colour red. We went 80. You thought 86. You said about 85.
Yeah.
I thought 70, 75.
Maybe 75.
I honestly think it could be 90. I really do think it could be that high.
I can honestly think of so many off the top of my head, but don't. Ireland and Ivory Coast. Bang, back to back.
Italy does have it. Hungary has it. Belgium.
Iceland. Actually, Iceland does a bit, I think.
Mm. Yeah, well, let's have a look.
Fair
then.
Enough.
Sensation. I need to know. Then.
It is.
Such is the beauty of 76% to 78%.
Oh, 75. Let's go with 75. Yeah, we were right.
We wouldn't have got it for that.
No. It's 77. To get it, you'd be 77. So he'll accept between 76 and 78. Barney, if you're listening, which you are,
I think a 5% gap would have been.
I think if we'd gone with 75, I think we should have gone.
5% either side feels fair.
Even if we'd gone with 75, we wouldn't have got the point.
No, really? Why 70?
So the answer is 77. We could have 1% either side, which is very 1% harsh, 1% either side.
Oh, wow. That's what about Barney?
Yeah. I mean, we were in the right area, weren't we?
We've just paused the pod.
Very quickly.
Very quickly, because there's something quite urgent to tell you about. Yeah. We are trying hard. We are talking about things that we've never talked about before.
Yeah.
We're discussing subjects we've never even broached.
Yeah.
But we're doing it on a place called Patreon.
Have you heard of it?
If you haven't, you're hearing about it right now.
Yeah.
Please come over for just £3 a month.
Please.
You can listen to some of this extra exclusive content and also help us to continue making the main pod. It's a no-brainer, please.
Please.
All right, back to the pod.
Oh, this is a bit of you, round two.
Well, we've had Shabazz's round, now we're having my round.
What is this?
Round two is British game shows.
Oh, okay.
I feel good about this, because in your former life, you were a teacher. My former life, I was a TV producer. I'm trying to mention it more on the pod, because I never do.
And as I mentioned,
I bang on about it.
As I mentioned, I worked at H&M.
Why are you still not one?
Well, I'm still not one.
Not as bothered about that one.
Sorry, we sort of overlooked Liam talking about his past life at H&M.
What was it?
It's all valid.
What was your old job?
Worked at H&M.
Oh, lovely. Do you still get discount?
No.
Brilliant.
You hate
don't
it,
know
you
stay.
Yeah. No, honestly, talk about that stuff. It shouldn't have dwelled on that.
No.
So yeah, talk about...
Back to your TV producer, why are you not one?
Well, we're not one. It's more... Well, no one's really making TV anymore. So, there's less jobs.
Mm.
Making bloody good podcasts. So.
Making bloody good podcasts. And it'd be nice to make some money from them. So give us a follow on Patreon because we are doing bonus content. Maybe with Shabazz if he sticks around. Question number one in British game shows. Who cheated their way into winning Who Wants to Be a Millionaire in 2001?
Well, you want his name?
Yes.
Who? Guy Fury. No, that's not his. That's the guy that was.
Guy Fury. Guy Fury.
You what was it? Guy Comer.
Guy Gomer.
No, it was the guy that went on.
Guy Garvey.
Do you remember Guy Comer?
Was the
guy
he's not Guy Comer, Shabazz. He wasn't in a coma. Guy Gomer was
Guy
the...
Guy Gomer.
Guy Gomer. Do you remember Guy Gomer?
No. It was he the bloke who went on BBC?
Yeah.
How did that happen?
That is brilliant. He was in for an... I think he was going for an interview in the IT department.
Yeah.
But they had a segment about music streaming, which was sort of like, you know, a bit techie.
Yeah.
Because I'm here for the interview. What's it about? Tech. Oh, come this way.
Yeah.
Is that what happened?
Yeah, and then they asked him about something and then he was like...
I remember on the video, that is exactly a great impression. I'd never seen such a visceral reaction to panic. It was like a...
you see
the bottom lip side.
I've never seen such a visceral
reaction. You do see it go in, you do see it like...
Oh!
Yeah.
It was quite camp, actually. It was like, oh dear, what's happened here?
And then he just committed to it. I bet a little bit of him thought, like, maybe it's just how they do it.
Yeah, job interviews.
Yeah.
And to be fair, we were chatting to Jack, one of our other producers, who basically said, like... He had an interview for being a sound recorder at Coronation Street. They did the interview on set. Just trying to show off to him, like, this is where he could be.
Yeah.
Can we do it here, mate?
Sounds about right. Sounds like another thing
Ken
to
Marlo,
do.
Ken Marlowe,
So this, the documentary is actually number 4 on Netflix at the moment. And I put it on last night. And then I turned it off because I was like, nah, I want to watch something else. So I'm now annoyed because I would have had that answer for
it. I'm just going to warn you. When you do watch it, it's not a documentary. It's a three-part drama that was made about it.
Oh, yeah, like
so
a retelling.
So I'd hate for you to be thinking like...
No, like a retelling,
They got some quite good footage of him at the time.
I
mean retelling. It's a
multicam.
It's lucky they were filming his home
vlog. It's an ITV thing, isn't it? A dramatisation.
It was Major Charles Ingram was his name.
Yeah.
And the system was basically that his mate in the audience... He'd go through the answers. Mm. Is it A? No. Is it B? No. Is it C? Is it D? And then he got through.
Yeah, fairness, he did get caught. I don't think we can give him that much credit.
It's one of the all-time famous cheating scandals. I mean, it's that. Vibrating anal beads in the chess competition a couple of years ago. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Lance Armstrong, famous cheater.
Yeah.
Question number two.
Who hosts the 1% Club? Lee Mack.
Lovely.
Number 3, where in Scotland is the Traitor's Castle?
Oh, that's so hard.
Iverness.
Is it?
Oh, is it?
How do you know?
Because they say that, don't they?
It's, I know it's good. In the Highlands, but...
Yeah, just, isn't right that Inverness in the Highlands?
Yeah, it's right at the top. Yeah.
Just fascinated from how sort of vague your knowledge is. Only some reason things, why, okay, so
I don't know
specific.
For sure, but I was meant to be on season one of The Traitors. I really? Turned it down.
Turned it down because?
I'll tell you later.
Really?
Ooh.
So they called me and said, would you like to be on the show? It's a game show. We're hosting it. You play these activities up in the Scottish Highlands. I was like, absolutely not. Don't do activities. Don't do PE. Don't want to do it. And then when it came on TV, I was like, damn. Now, celebrity traitors happens, call me.
Question number four. Which 90s show had the largest game show set in Europe?
Gladiators.
Are you sure?
It would have been, because that set was huge. Oh, Crystal Maze, Gladiators, Fort Boyard, Blind Date. Blind Date set wasn't very big. Was it a game show? I would say Fort Boyard or what's Crystal
Fort
Maze.
Fort Boyard is massive.
Yes, it was a massive
it was
castle.
Like, what is like, it? Oh, like, it was like a big castle on an island, and it was like lots of challenges in different zones, yeah. And you'd run around doing it.
Fort Boyard.
Fort Boyard was massive, and they had a big fat castle, but Crystal Maze was also a set in it. It was massive.
But I remember Richard Osman talking on Wrestling Entertainment about Total Wipeout and how there
was.
That was
like the this, 90s or 2000s. Was that, was that 2000s? Yeah,
okay.
I feel like that was 2000s.
Fort Boyard.
Fort Boyard. It's got to be because it was Boyard. A full castle,
yeah,
wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Crystal Maze, though, indoor had so many different ones, so it could be Crystal Maze.
Number five. How many boxes are there in Deal or No Deal?
24.
I'll go with 22, personally.
I was going to say 23.
There's 11. There's 12 and 12. 24.
24.
There 20, are 22 sealed them... boxes. It's 22. 22 sealed boxes.
You sure?
Because Noah Edmonds says it at the beginning.
22
Does he
boxes?
Say 22 or 24 sealed boxes?
I think
20...
actually, I think it is. Because then do you remember for a while when it was Noel Edmonds, they added a thing called the 23 boxes F, and whatever you ended with at the end, you could choose to pay for box 23.
And it's 11 either. Numbers on each side.
And box 23 either had, so like if you won, like if you end up with a tenner, you'd definitely go, well, I might as well buy box 23. And the options, what could have been in box 23 was you just leave what you've already got, nothing changes, halve your money, nothing at all, double your money, or like plus 10 grand.
See,
so
22.
It's an extra gamble, but I think it was 22 and then 23.
22 sounds right.
You really have the vibe of someone who would have been a sort of Deal or No Deal contestant.
Loved Deal or No Deal.
Do you know what I mean by that as well?
You bang on.
I don't know what, it's such a hard thing to distinguish and sort of articulate, but you reek of being a Deal or No Deal contestant.
I would have gone, banker, give me your offer. I'd be like, no, put the phone down every single time. Yeah. I was meant to be on Deal or No Deal. Went to do audition, went all the way to Bristol. But they wanted me to stay in. They wanted you to stay in a hotel for until you get picked. Don't
you?
So a couple of months,
you
and I
live
was
in there,
don't
you?
So
yeah.
I was like, on.
Yeah. I sent an audition tape to Deal or No Deal when I was about 19.
Audition? Why do you have to audition for Deal or No Deal?
You have to. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they ask you questions. They ask you all sorts of questions.
No, I just sent in a self tape. Just.
Oh
to
yeah,
like,
I went. I did that.
So I sent
the
self tape
into...
in. It was. Oh, I saw it the other day. It's fucking horrific. Absolutely horrific.
Wait, you found it.
Yeah, I found it.
Can we put that on Patreon?
Yeah, put it on.
We'll put it on Patreon. It's horrific.
Please.
It's so bad. I'm 18. I'm so skinny. I'm sat on my bedroom in my mum's, in like the house I grew up. And I'm like, I'm thinking like, I need a joke. But it's such a scripted joke. It's delivered so scripted.
No,
so,
don't give it all away.
Oh yeah.
They're paying for it.
This is why we need to spend more time with Shabazz. This is why we need to spend more time with Shabazz. This is why he's doing so well. And
yeah, they pay for it and you'll get the full thing later. Moving on.
Honestly, you really want to see it. It's super cringe. All right, so we've had a good go at round two. I feel quite confident. The only one we're a bit unsure about is this Fort Boyard thing, but let's see. So, British game show.
I'm going to say Crystal Maze, though. No.
Well, hang on. Do you want to change it?
No, I'd say Chris. Just leave it for now, and then we'll.
Well, we can't. There is no for now. We're in. This is it. Yeah.
Well, just edit it. And
also,
say we'll
we've not had a, we've not had a 5 out of 5 for any of the Manchester episodes. It'd be good to get one Manchester
really
5 out of 5.
Yeah,
like
that's true. Yeah. So edit it to make it sound right.
Question number one: who cheated their way? It was Charles Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
1 point. 1% Club is indeed hosted by
Lee Mack. Yeah.
2 points. Now, is The Traitor's Castle in Inverness for 3 points. It is.
Well done.
Here we go. Our trickiest question of the bunch. The one we're most unsure of. The biggest set
in
Europe.
Crystal Maze.
The 90s show was The Crystal Maze.
I told you. Because Crystal Maze had loads of... Because what I was thinking was Fort Boyard had like a castle, but Crystal Maze had those different rooms, didn't
Let's
they?
Do a version. Let's do a version and leave it up to Connor. As to what he'll do.
Right.
Where we did change it and we went Crystal Maze.
Can you get What do you think? Crystal Maze.
Oh. It was a Crystal Maze. No, we can't. We didn't get it. And number five is...
Oh, you even said change it.
Yeah, I know. Why did you say not change it?
Because I thought you've got to go with what you first said. You do. Know what I mean?
Oh. 22 boxes on Deal or No Deal. So let's, you know, still celebrate that.
It is good, but... Let's
still celebrate that. 4 out of 5. Like Liam said, we've done a few episodes in Manchester this weekend, and none of them... I'm not blaming the guests, but in none of the episodes collectively as a team have we come close to feeling like this is a 5 out of 5.
We haven't actually got double figures at all.
I know, and this just feels like the
one. Could have done it.
Yeah, should have done it.
Yeah.
So 4 out of 5. We spoke a lot about the Shabazz before the fame.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
How did you go from Shabazz the teacher to Shabazz the megastar?
I was in it was lockdown, and then I've been making content since 2014, which people don't know this.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, a long time. And so overnight success takes about 10 years in it. So I was grafting, but I got busy with like school and like I used to work.
Was it tricky doing that whilst you were a teacher? Was that like
at first? Yeah, prior to lockdown, the world wasn't online, was it? It wasn't like an online world, and the teaching world was so behind on it. Like, I went into the school and introduced, like, you know, like a radio station or a podcast studio. I introduced all these things because I was like, why don't we get the kids involved in something like have a school radio, have a school podcast, or have a school newsletter, or like digital stuff like end of year video, testimony videos. You know, when the kids, year 11s are leaving, get all the teachers in the school to record the messages, and I'd edit it together and put them up a video, and like all of these like sound really lame in 2026, but in 2017 it was a new, like, people were like, oh, what, you can do that? I was like, yeah, schools need to catch up. So I was just making videos, and they had a problem with it. They got over it because I was like, well, I'll just go.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Did you making content? They're like, you can't be doing that. You're a
teacher.
Yeah,
they did. They were like a full, I had a full meeting and everything. And I just turned around and said, look, respectfully, I know what I'm doing. Unless I'm doing something, I know not to contact kids. I know not to, like, my comments are blocked. You can't say certain things. I don't discuss pupils on there. There's a certain set of rules. And they were like, as long as you follow these, fine, do it. But if at any point, somebody brings up something you've said and they sue you or whatever, then we can't be held liable. And I was like, all right, cool. After that, like, the head teacher that pulled me in for the meeting, like a week later, she was like, oh my God, my daughter loves your videos. You know, they loved it. Then lockdown happened, and then all the teachers sort of like were making funny videos and like whatever. And then it was okay. So since then it was fine. And then I left because it just sort of kicked off.
Numbers involved
just went
on. Like, I mean, what I mean, I just looked at
him yesterday,
but like, it is 2 million,
guys,
right, or something like that.
The reason I know my numbers, and I never look at them, but the reason I know them is because somebody said my content wasn't high quality and it was niche. So I went to give them my numbers just to be like, well, it's not very niche, is it? 2.1 million on TikTok, 2 million on Instagram, 400,000 on Threads, which is a very new app. So 400,000.
What's that like on Threads?
Really fun. Super left wing, woke as shit. Yeah. Like, if anyone says anything offensive, you read the comments, they will get destroyed. So someone comes on there going, I don't understand all this immigration stuff. Just read the comments. There'll be 3,000 comments, and every single one of them are giving them.
Do you know what? It's the first time I've heard the word woke not used as an insult for ages. It's quite refreshing.
Yeah.
Woke as shit. Come on, let's have a good time.
No,
like,
absolutely.
It's like the first time I've not heard a sort of like angry man using it as a stick to beat you with.
Because it wasn't invented for that. You've just adopted these angry gammon heads have just adopted this word as if it's like an offensive thing. When they call me woke,
sorry,
I'm like,
Connor. What am I getting belted? life must be weird now, because you sort of like joke about, like, we're called the povos, you're not from an affluent background, yet you're sort of hanging out with proper A-listers. He's on red carpets more than he's on laminated flooring. I mean, it's just insane.
Yeah, imposter syndrome is massive up north. I think we suffer from it a lot up north because it's a small town, sort of, your northerners aren't going to amount to much. And like, it's always been that thing. So we really live with that. We really live with the idea of like, should I be here? Should this be happening? And I was watching like the Take That documentary, and he said it in there. And I was like, that's so wild that even when they were at the height of their fame, they were still questioning, because these northern lads were still questioning, should this be happening? Am I deserving of this? So it's still there. Like every single time I'm on a carpet, people always go like, you look jarred. And I'm like, it's because I look out at all these photographers screaming my name. And I'm like, should I be here? And I'm still constantly like, oh my God, should I be here? Like I've been on trips where Disney's flown me out to LA and I'm still sat on the flight back going, what just happened? Like, should somebody else be here? Like, why me?
So, in the north,
I do think that is still a bit healthy though as well, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know,
yeah, absolutely.
Become sort of accustomed to it and then expectant of that.
I just don't want to be arrogant. And I think, so for me, I think what I've done is I've allowed that voice to sit there, and it does sit there, which keeps me humble, but it doesn't dictate what I do with the world and how I see myself. Also, I will say, I have such a massive community of people that are constantly blowing smoke at my ass. Like, it is just the thing that, oh, you're amazing. My DMs are filled. I can show you DMs are filled with, I love your videos. I love everything you do. And you're constantly told you're amazing. If you have only ever known that world, then that's all you are ever going to think you are. So when you walk into a room, you're going to think, I'm the shit. And that's what a lot of these younger creators do. When you meet them, they do act like their shit doesn't stink. They don't have that that ability to know that, listen, if somebody clicked, if at the end of the day, if Elon Musk closed down your account or decided, what are you? Who are you? You don't know who you are because you've not learned who you are. All you've learned is a figure, a person that people are telling is amazing. Yeah. You've not learnt life experience, so it is tough.
It's very important to have friends that make you feel very grounded indeed. They'll really tell you that you're not necessarily the
shit. That's why I hang around with like people who don't have
that your shit does stink. And you've left it as a floater in the toilet of my room.
And then you need to wipe your ass properly.
Yeah. That's why, sorry, we just talked about our very specific shit story that we shared there. Well.
Sorry, that was a really lovely message.
Just dig it down a notch. But no, but in saying that, this is the reason why I hang around with like, this is why I hang around people who don't have much.
Yeah.
Because then it keeps me humble.
Look, I mean, it's kind of silly sort of asking you this when you've got 4 million on social media and we've got, you know. But we, you know,
we've got a listener.
So Shabazz, we want to give you a few of our followers. So we would like you to tell anyone, everyone, sorry, where they can find you on social media.
I'm at Shabazz Says on everything.
Let's make that go from 2 million on Insta to 3, guys. Let's try and do it all together. Look, you've had a lot of achievements, sure. You've been hanging out with James Cameron, Sarah Jessica Parker, Florence Pugh, sure. But have you been on a pub quiz pod and got a 5 out of 5? No.
No.
So let's try and make that happen in the final round, shall we?
Which is true or false?
Okay, this
We've
is
got
easy,
a great chance with this. Really.
It's true, actually.
So, number one, true or false? The best breasts of Britain competition has been won by Suzanne Horsham White every year since 2003.
It seems too specific to be false.
But is it? I'll be annoyed if it's one of them where it's like, actually, she lost it for the first time in 2024.
I don't think she's won it every year. There are definitely post TikTok generation. There are definitely a pair of tits out there that are going to be clearly the social media age in 2003. From 2003 up until like 2020. Yeah. She probably was winning them. And then 2020, internet happened, like massively. TikToks, OnlyFans. I'm sorry, the girls are getting
The competition of tits is so wide. But at the same time, why would he ask it? Because
the best breasts of Britain.
It might be that she runs the comp. I mean, this is so neat. It's not like something
you don't actually. Best. Can I just say, you don't reckon it's something to do with like poultry?
Oh.
It's like a bit of an ego, like, oh, get your minds out of the gutter.
That is very
she's not
clever.
The best
she's a chicken farmer.
Chicken farmer.
Liam, that's genius.
I'm gonna say then.
I think that. I think
and
she's
that
won
also,
it.
Suzanne Horsham White sounds like someone.
A farmer. Yeah. Farm. It really does. Yeah. Sounds really.
She'll give me someone with tits. She gives me someone with like a farm.
True or false? No British Prime Minister has ever been assassinated. No, I saw this recently. False. It's
who?
False. Yeah, I saw this.
Who
recently.
Who got assassinated? That was British.
His name was Spencer Percival. In the 1700s.
Sitting.
He was Prime Minister.
Oh, I forget. We've got loads of them, innit?
Yeah, you forget. Assassinated in the House of Commons,
absolutely,
I think.
Absolutely, we have had them, because I forget all the old ones.
Number 3, true or false, the oldest dog in the world was a Shih Tzu. in 1989 called Pig, who lived to be 26. Do we think 26 is the thing. I think it might have been a
when, when they give these really specific ones, it's like, well, yeah, it is true. Otherwise, why have you just put something so specific?
Because, okay, so if you look at where it could be false, the oldest dog in the world was a Shih Tzu. So the Shih Tzu, it might not have been a Shih Tzu. It might have been another animal.
But I'd hate that if he did that, because that would be annoying, wouldn't it? If it's like, oh, actually, it wasn't the Shih Tzu.
But that's what it could be, because it's very specific. So it'll be...
Do you know what it might be? He might have gone, well, no, it's wrong, because actually the oldest pig in the world... died in 1989 and was called Shih Tzu. You know what I mean?
Oh, it could be.
Something like that.
The oldest pig in the world was called Shih Tzu, born in 1989 and lived to be 26.
I think, I feel like 26 is quite an age for a dog. When do they die?
So, smaller the dog, longer they live. Little fact for you. Normally around, I've known dogs that be like 18, 19, 20. I've known a few be about that age. So like 6 years older than that isn't...
Also, why would you, actually, thinking about it, a Shih Tzu looks so little like a pig. Why would you say, that's what I'm going to call it, pig?
I just think 26 is... I think a dog might have surpassed 26.
Let's try false.
False on this?
Yeah. Number 4, true or false. In Australia, more people are killed by horses than sharks per year.
Sharks don't actually kill that many people compared to, yeah.
And I'm imagining in the outback.
I feel like a lot horses. There's a lot of sharks, though. There are a lot of sharks.
I don't think there's loads of shark deaths, are there?
No, I think this is one of
those ones.
Shark
deaths, no, but there's a lot of...
There's a lot of people with horses.
Yeah. Well, I think it could actually be a landslide.
What, that kills more people than sharks?
Yeah.
Oh, no. That was horrible. Like, either ignore it or give it a good... Don't you two sit there and give me a...
Well, what did you expect from that?
Yeah, like, I don't know what I expected. Clip it up.
Number 5, true or false, the mystery novelist Agatha Christie was an avid surfer.
I did read that somewhere.
True.
Oh, really?
She actually was, yeah. True. Because there's an episode in Doctor Who where he goes back to meet Agatha Christie and she mentions it in there. She mentions something weird in there and he's like, oh, did you? So it might not be surfing, but there's something she did that was weird.
What we got from that is Agatha Christie was in Doctor Who.
And surfing is weird.
She did something that you would never think Agatha Christie would do. But then don't put that in if it's wrong, right? Because the Doctor Who Doctor Who lot are mad. I hosted the Doctor Who podcast and my God, they went for me.
Really?
Racist bastards, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I've never had so much abuse. I did not realise how brown I was until I did that podcast.
The Doctor Who podcast?
Yeah, it was awful. They were
racist.
And they were
what
horrendous.
Did they say to you? What did
you should have read the comments. Anything that you can possibly... They were going in. But the thing was, it was Shooty doing the podcast, so obviously he's black. Then the girl that was doing it was a black girl and I was an Asian man, so they're like, what did these brown people know about Doctor Who?
Oh,
but like, I grew up on it. My dad watched in the
60s. Fucking hell.
So...
Bloody hell.
Well,
they were awful. Anyway, sorry to put a damper on it.
No, it's all right.
So if there's a Doctor Who bit, just cut it out.
Yeah, more of that, if anything. Yeah.
Or clip it, it'll get loads of views.
Yeah.
I'll take one with the team, just clip it. Right, I'll take one with the team. Clip it, I'll get loads of views. I'll go for it. Just filter the comments out.
But should we do the answers?
Right, okay.
This is our penultimate chance to get 5 out of 5 in Manchester. If it doesn't happen,
yeah.
I hope
it happens for you. But then you've always got a chance tomorrow with the next person, haven't you?
Yeah, true. And I'm sure Ski will do really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You won't get 8.
Why did you laugh? Yeah, I was trying to give you a good soundbite for it, for the podcast. Shit, innit?
They'll love it. They'll love that.
Shit, innit? First guest to go, shit, innit?
Good format, execution, shit, innit?
Here we go.
All right.
True or false? The best Breast of Britain competition has been won by the same person since 2003.
Oh.
We said what we actually think, that this is a poultry farmer.
I think you're very clever.
And she
saying
and
that.
This brand have the best chicken breasts every year. And it is, this is false.
False. Just, what's that?
That is so annoying.
So he's just basically gone, best breast in Britain, and he just picks a random woman and thought, yeah, she has a boy every year.
Yeah, but
what's the point of asking?
Yeah. We don't know what bit of that is false. Is all of it false? Is
it's
there
all
even
false.
A competition?
The best bits of Britain is false.
She's just not one of them.
Was it Suzanne Horsham Black that actually won it every year?
No, Suzanne Horsham White actually won it up until lockdown.
Let's search.
And then in lockdown, everyone's tits came out.
Suzanne Horsham White.
Suzanne Horsham White. I mean, what are we going to find? Look at the tits on her.
We've got Google images.
Suzanne Horsham. Honestly, nothing about
her. I'm just getting pictures of Horsham.
All right, right. Best of Britain, best breasts of Britain competition.
Hazan?
No, because Suzanne, it might not be her. He might have made the name wrong. He might have given a fake
safe
name.
Safe search. Beat breasts soft. Beast breasts is what he's wrote. Bust in Britain was some competition that.
Yeah,
he looks like he just made the whole thing up. The competition's made up.
Yeah. The woman's made up.
What a
follow that.
What a tit.
Sure, false. No British prime minister has been assassinated. We said false. It was false. Spencer Percival.
That's
good.
Good bit of knowledge here, Jay. Well done, mate.
Yeah.
Cheers for supporting that.
True or false? The oldest dog in the world was a Shih Tzu called Pig, who lived to be 26.
What did we say?
We said it's false.
False.
Yeah.
But which part's false?
That extra bit of information gives us the sort of like adrenaline rush. It was false because it was actually a pig called Shih Tzu.
I think I've had a word with you about this before, Barney. You just keep doing it every time you send them in. Right, true or false?
So much potential.
We're going to have to get someone else.
You're worse than fucking Alfie.
In Australia, more people are killed by horses than sharks a year. We said that's true.
And if it is true, I'd love to know the statistics.
I don't think we're expecting much from Barney.
Come on, Barney.
And finally, true or false?
Probably had a funeral to get to.
Callback. That's linked the whole episode up nicely.
True or false? The mystery novelist Agatha Christie was an avid surfer.
You said true.
You'd read that she was into something weird.
I just know it was really odd. Like, I think it might have been BDSM, but maybe surfing.
Libel. The answer is
she's dead.
True.
Yeah. It was surfing because she did say something weird that Dr. Rob episode that I watched.
So that is an 11 out of 15, which is by far our best score.
I would say the Crystal Maze one we have to give, so 12 out of 15.
You're just going
to
give that to us,
eh? Absolutely.
Crystal Maze, 11 or 12 out of 15.
Crystal Maze would have got us a 5 out of 5.
Honestly, I think we should just have a 5 out of 5. It'll make more viewers.
Yeah, but the viewers that we have will be fuming about it.
They don't need to know.
They will need
to
know.
How would they know?
Because we're honest. Doing a version where we take out the sort of like wondering whether we will or won't lie about it will just be such a nightmare edit. So they know everything.
Yeah.
Shabazz, 11 out of 15. It's the best score we've had in Manchester. 11 or 12 out of 15 is the best score we've had in Manchester.
Perfect.
I would say one of the most knowledgeable guests we've had, generally speaking.
Yeah. Thank you.
And one of the most giving guests we've ever had as well.
Best fact.
Basically, I know you said you don't want to surround yourself with people blowing smoke up your ass, but get your ass ready because it's going to get nice and busy with the smoke I've
got.
Thank
you, appreciate it.
And also never asked a guest to get their ass ready either. So there's lots of firsts for everyone on the pod. Yeah.
Would you do a little review of Barney's quiz? Maybe a score out of 10 and just your thoughts on the range of questions?
I liked it. I thought it was good. I think he, some out of 10, possibly 6.5, 7.
Seven.
You wanted to give 6.
I think.
You wanted to give 6. You gave the half because you felt bad, and you gave the 7 because you looked at us thinking
7,
that half was bad.
6.5.
Okay.
Because I think there were elements like this bit where he didn't give us a fax. It's a bit random with Suze.
There was a bit where he said he's hosting funerals, but elaborated no further.
Yeah.
But, do let us know about that.
Yeah, please do actually.
But I do think he's a good quiz master. I think some of the very varied quiz questions just. I know, actually, they were quite good. I've forgotten.
Yeah. It was good, actually.
It was a good quiz.
They were actually a really good question. The colours one were really good, weren't they?
What are you knocking 2.5 off for?
Yeah, I knock it off for the true and false.
Yeah.
I think that breast one has really annoyed me because that would have been our 5 out of 5 and I think you've mugged us off there.
Yeah, you're right. With something that he hasn't explained what the... Yeah. Why is he asked that?
You give us the breast, you give us Crystal Maze, we're looking at 13. Yeah.
We are just 2 5 out of 5, yeah.
That would have been our 5 out of 5. And I think he messed us around because technically, if the fact doesn't exist, what did we say? True or false?
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
So then it's... Yeah.
Well, Barney, thank you so much for sending your quiz in.
And there'll be more, I'm sure.
Please, we need them. But if you run a quiz or you know someone who runs a pub quiz, send it in. We want to answer it. I mean, you might get bloody Shabazz answering it. Thank you so much to Barney.
We're not done yet.
The Snooty Fox in Canterbury.
Quizzer of the quiz.
Oh, yes. Sorry.
Yeah.
Shabazz?
Yeah, probably. Well, we do a thing called Quizzer of the Quiz, which is like player of the match, who in our team was like the standout performer.
Well, I didn't know some of them.
You did. It's definitely you.
I think it was you. Yeah.
You answered the most. You looked the best.
That's nice. I appreciate that.
You turned out
talk the best. Yeah.
Talk the best.
Okay, fine.
You look like how I think I look.
No, I'll take that. Okay, brilliant.
That's my problem. That's what I'm taking from this. But thanks for coming. And thank you to our returning quizmaster Barney from the Snooty Fox in Canonbury. His quiz runs every Thursday at 8 p.m. He's a great quizmaster. You should go and see it. And a massive thank you, of course, to Shabazz for joining our quiz team today. Thank you. See you on Patreon. Goodbye.